Back at the Roadhouse on the Shore, WTIP with Dave and Julie. And this weekend is Sievertson Gallery's 18th annual Inuit premiere featuring Inuit print art and sculpture along with carving demos and throat singing performances, all open to the public. And tonight's the night. We welcome the cast and crew of this premiere into the Roadhouse, two throat singers Nina Sagalowitz and Takralik Partridge, as well as carver Bill Nasagalawak, and the man from the Canadian Consulate, Rob Pengelly. Welcome to the Roadhouse.
Well, thank you.
It's been a bit of a joke behind the scenes, but the question is, why are you here?
Consulates general are often known for helping their citizens when they have problems in the territory. So our consulate general in Minneapolis covers Minnesota and then four other upper Midwest states. So, of course, we're there to help Canadians when they are in difficulty. But we're also there to build strong ties, Canada-U.S. ties, whether it's economic or security ties, but also cultural ties.
Sure.
And that's really important for us. And we're really grateful for Jan and her team and the work they do in hosting the annual Cape Dorset print launch, but also for bringing art to life by hosting Canadian artists from the north. And that was really a fabulous day today. So we're proud to be partnering again.
Is this a what would say common assignment for you? Is this your specialty in terms of inside of the consulate? Are you the ambassador for a lot of these types of events?
Well, my role in the consulate is I manage political, economic, and public affairs. So the public affairs piece includes academic and cultural relations.
Have you been to Grand Marais before?
I have. In fact, this is my second tour in Minnesota. So I jumped at the chance to have a second posting here. I was here 10 years ago and had awesome. The opportunity to spend time on the North Shore and in Grand Marais. So glad to be back.
Welcome back, Rob Pengelly. And you'll be taking part in the event all weekend, I'm sure.
Yep, here to learn all weekend.
Great, great, Rob. Well, great. And now I think it's time to transition over to the sculptor in the group here, and it is Bill Nasagalawak. Bill, your first time on the Roadhouse, first time with the Inuit premiere. Let us know some background.
Okay, yes, I'm in Inuit background. I was born and raised in a little community fishing village of Tuktoyaktuk. That's as far northwest as you're going to get and still stay in Canada. It's right on the Arctic Ocean, the Beaufort Sea. We share the Beaufort Sea with Alaska. And we're only about 250 miles east of Alaska, and we're the most northerly western location. Well, what little people know is that we're so far west, based on the longitudinal line, we go south, and we're well over the ocean. We barely hit BC. We're further west than Vancouver.
Wow.
Yeah.
A coastal community?
Yes. It's a fishing village, and I spent my formative years there, and I left at 15 to go to high school, and I had to fly out, and it has since grown. It's about 900, not even 1,000 people now, but it's a very interesting community because it's now has become the destiny to go to, mm-hmm. and it's There's a permanent highway now that just opened last November, and we could actually drive from here now. We could drive from anywhere in North America, and it's the first time in the history of North America that you could go to the Arctic Ocean on a year-round basis.
And this is very recent
that it's yes, opened that, up? Yes, that opened in November. It was well looked after, well taken. And very focused. It was opened by the Governor General of Canada.
And is this part of a larger tourist route that people are now seeking out, that north of north idea?
Yes, it's Tuktoyaktuk has always been a destiny to go to, but you had to fly into Inuvik. You had to drive in Inuvik if you can drive, and then you had to fly all the time to Tuk. And it's 68 air miles. As the Raven goes, but it's now you can actually drive. And, you know, they've counted this summer up to 50 vehicles heading north wow. to Tuck. And surprisingly, not surprisingly, is that a lot of them are Americans.
Yeah. Well, its remoteness certainly must have its beauty and its appeal and its true nature. And you are a man of nature and a carver and a graphic artist. And give us an idea of that craft. And what do you carve? What do you like? What is your stone that you carve?
Okay, I'll give you the background briefly. I'm an electronics tech by trade, but I took the brave step in 1992 to take art full time, and it's a scary move, but it was also the best move I ever did, and it's given me opportunity to travel throughout the whole world, you know, and here I am. I've never been to Grand Marais before, or Minnesota for that matter, and I've always been an artist. I've always drawn. I have two brothers that are also very accomplished artists, and that's all we did. And I had aspirations. One day, I just live just north of Toronto, but one day I always aspired to be a Marvel comic illustrator in New York City. I got close. I got to Toronto. So I carve stone mostly. I paint for myself. I draw for myself. But where I make a living is in stone. I do. My money piece is a polar bear. But like everybody else, most artists, we have a money piece, and that's what I use. But more so, I do very contemporary Inuit art. I do leading edge type of work that sometimes is very, very deep and harsh. I illustrate in stone. I talk in stone. I'm a storyteller in stone about suicide. It's such a high ratio of suicide in the North. And it's, you know, myself, I've lost eight cousins to suicide. And it's, and I do the stark stuff, the stuff that need to be told. I do global warming. I do, you know, residential school. It might be not known much here, but it's about abuse. And if anybody hears about this residential school, it's good to look into it, because it was a huge, huge mistake by our government that they apologized publicly right at the top at the prime minister a number of years ago. And it's I do a lot of that. I do the good things too. You know, I try to cover it all. I do legends. I do storytelling of what my parents brought down to me, and it's I'm very fortunate because we're an older family, so I got a lot of the history, a lot of the old stories.
Nice. We're talking with Bill Nasagalawak. He is an Inuit artist and stone carver in town this weekend for the Inuit premiere down at Sivertsen Gallery. First time to Grand Marais. What do you think of our little village?
I think it's wonderful. I connect with the water. I grew up on the ocean, and it's and anything with water, it's just beautiful. And to see right to the horizon, I'm connected here.
The endless horizon.
Yeah.
Stone carving. You know, I've seen these pieces down at Sivertsen, and they're just so polished, and they're so smooth, and yet so rugged. And you know, what does it take? How long does it take for you to accomplish a piece? And obviously, you know, size is the matter, but what's an average piece take you?
Well, I don't even count the hours. It is in hours. It's not in weeks. It's in hours. It's, but you know, I have really good tools. I have really good power tools. I use the most updated technological tools I could grab my hands on. And there's a lot of people that are traditionalist collectors that want me to be able to use a hammer and chisel, and that's all, and a couple of rasps. But I don't. I just use really good tools. I try use the best I can to present the best I can. And based on that, I've done it for a lifetime. And, you know, I've done it now for 26 years, almost daily. And so I don't count the hours, but I'm a lot faster than I ever was 26 years ago. And you're not paying for the actual time today. If I had to do that, it's not fair to say, but it's a whole combination of having all the knowledge and all what I've done with all the tools and there again, just the confidence to be able to do it and see it before it's as a stone. I can see a stone finished. I could see my carving finished within that stone.
It must take that vision. It must. And it sounds cathartic as well. It sounds like it's soothing for you, especially as you address some of those difficult topics like suicide. Like, do you take some inspiration from the stone?
Yeah, I do. But I mentioned just today that I'm stubborn with the stone. Sometimes the stone wants to swing its own way, and I refuse that. When I start a piece, I know how it's going to look. I know how it's going to be finished. And there are times, not all the time, but there are times that stone just wants to bend and make its own rule. And to me, it doesn't have a brain. I do. And I think my creativity is, I try override it.
Ah, yes, that sense of control.
Yes.
Well done, Bill. Bill Nasagalawak.
Thank you.
Welcome to Grand Marais. Welcome to the Inuit premiere.
Thank you. Thank you.
Have a great time.
Thanks so much.
Thank you. And now, up to the mics, up to the stools, the gals that we welcome back every year for several years.
Yes.
I know this has been a real treat for me, although I haven't had the honor and privilege of conducting the interview. But here I am with Nina Sagalowitz and Takralik Partridge. Welcome back to the Roadhouse.
Thank you so much. I'm very honored to be here with all of you guys.
Thank you.
Yes, 18th annual Inuit premiere. However, about 5 years or so, you guys have been coming down?
Seven. This is my seventh year. I can't believe that time has passed so much, and I'm just blown away every time I get here.
Yes, yeah. You do love this place, don't you, Nina?
Very much so. It's pretty much my second home.
Yes.
Even though I'm only here 5 days, it's still my second home.
Well, it's been a year. I see someone got married. Is that not true? I thought I saw this on my bio of Takralik and a new husband. It must not be true.
No, we've been married for a few years, but we moved. So we moved to his hometown in Norway. That's right.
Well, yeah, newly so married.
The first mention of a husband is
the
move.
Is it still the honeymoon?
Is it still the honeymoon? Some days.
Okay, so
that's another show.
So the big news is you've moved to Norway.
Yes.
What's that like?
It's gorgeous. It's far up north. It looks a lot like my home community, and it's very expensive, and it's very expensive.
Yes.
And it's far from home, but it also feels like home. So
nice, yeah. Nice. Mm-hmm. Well. Throat singing is the real reason you're here.
Yeah.
So we better.
Is it really? I was.
We could talk about honeymoons in Norway, but this is a very special opportunity for our listeners to experience this. It's a very rare opportunity, I would say. Not a lot of throat singers out there, right?
More
not
and more.
In Grand Marais, not as far as you know. But there are many throat singers in Canada, especially. Shh, we didn't say that. We're the only ones. You want us all the time.
Well, touch on that, touch on that cultural heritage, though. Why are there more there? What is throat singing?
So Inuit throat singing, it's called Katajak in Inuktitut. It's a traditional game, and people say that it's played by women, but it's also men. It can really be anyone Inuit. And in my home region, which is in northern Quebec, the region of Nunavik, it almost disappeared. And then there were only a few kind of elders that were practicing in a couple of communities. And then there was an elder who had encouraged women in his community to start doing it as performance. And that was in the 1970s. And then it sort of grew from there. But I think the explosion of new throat singers really happened in the late 90s, early 2000s, around the time when we started. So now people teach in different communities and in schools and in after school classes.
And it's a bit of a game, but it's like social interacting as well, isn't it? There's the culture of it.
Yeah, it's a game, but for us, it's a really important cultural heritage. Mm-hmm. You know, it lends itself to be performed with music, so we sometimes perform with music. Nina can talk, I think, a little bit more about what it means for her. For me, it's something that I had only seen as a child that I thought was, you know, for a select few of people. And so when we started doing it in the 90s, late 90s, I felt just like this big rush of, wow, I can actually do this. I can be part of this too.
Nice. Nice. It's the Roadhouse with Julie and Dave and Takra Leek and Nina. And we're about to hear some throat singing. Take it away, gals. That was a long one.
Yeah.
You guys had to stand up for that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because it takes our diaphragm and our breathing and our... So amazing. If I'm sitting down, and especially if I've eaten too much supper before, that I won't work. So it's easier to do it standing up.
Yeah, we were munching on leftovers from the Angry Tribe.
Yeah.
Amazing. Amazing. Nina Sigalowitz and Takra Leek Partridge, Inuit Throat Singers, back for the Inuit premiere at Sivertsen Gallery this weekend. You gals will be down there tonight, 6 to 8 p.m. for the patrons' reception. You'll be the distinguished guests of introduction, throat singing demonstration, so folks can see this.
Yeah, well, we look forward to this, meeting everybody and seeing new friends, meeting new friends and seeing old ones again. And it's very nice to be here with Bill as well, because we recently found out, recently, like yesterday, that we're related. So it's nice. It's nice to meet more and more family from my mother's side. So we're very honored to be here.
What a coincidence.
Right? I don't believe in coincidences.
Not really, though. Not really coincidence.
I think it's like chances are we're somehow related somehow.
Yeah.
All Inuit.
Meant to be. Nice connection here in Grand Marais. So throat singers, how does it work? Is there an easy way to explain it?
Step one, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, right?
Be born in Inuk. I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
we're genetically predisposed. No, I'm just kidding. Blood memory. It's just like throat singing is something that involves your breathing, like I was saying, your diaphragm. And you can actually, like, some of it is like actually notes. So, and we're pushing the air out through our vocal cords, and we're controlling our vocal cords, the muscles surrounding that. So it's actually constricting. So all that, and the intake breath. So the intake breath is part of the song. So, and as a canon, it's basically a canon, because we're doing the same thing, but one after the other. So
that's right. It's like a little copy what I do, you do better? Is there sort of a one-upsman?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Taklik is usually the follower because I'm not a very good beginner, but I mean leader. So, but I have, if she changes the sound, I have to change right after or else I lose the game.
Right, right. So was there a winner or a loser to that last game?
I lost. I usually, yeah.
And do you just crack up? It's always funny. You always start laughing.
Because you're trying not to crack up, so that's really not, you know. Yeah. Better to start throat singing in a really bad mood, then maybe I would win. But it's hard not to be in a good mood when you're throat singing.
Is there score kept? Is it a best of three?
No.
Let's see, 25 years times...
Darn it, I owe her everything. Yeah. Just give her my earrings from Sivertsen right now.
No.
It's friendly competition.
Yeah, definitely. But, you know, traditionally we would bet for pieces of clothing or chemics, like our boots or... And sometimes, we don't do this anymore, but if there was a bachelor hunter, it was very serious competition, but not anymore.
Should be, courting with throat singing. Well, let's just a bit more if you have it in you.
Yep.
Haven't much time.
Excuse me. We'll do one that's called Dog and Polar Bear.
Yep.
I won.
Yes. I'm so sorry. It's super hot in here. Okay, let's try.
Okay, I'm going Thank you.
Thank you so much.
And polar bear. So there's numbers like songs that are standards.
Yeah,
like Dog and
so
Polar Bear.
Each song as composed by whoever's composed by, like most of the ones we do are really old, so we don't know who the composer is. But each song has a name and specific parts to it, and then we can alternate and put those parts in different places.
Is there any freestyling involved? Is there a improv?
Yeah, there is.
Yeah, actually, a CD came out this year, actually, that I performed with a group from a composer, Katya Medisky-Warren. And it's called... I can't remember the name of the Inuktitut, but... it's a combination of Inuit throat singing, Middle Eastern musicians, a bass, drums, techno, and it's really an amazing mix. And so it can lend itself to different, more contemporary ways.
Sure. And you gals are pretty known in the industry, if I'm not mistaken. You've done CDs. You've appeared in.
We've both
concert
done
halls.
Stuff with it. Like I'm on somebody's CD and she's on somebody's CD, but we've never actually done our own CD between us. Mm-hmm. I think it's because we had so much fun just being live. But I guess if we had CD, then we might get more gigs. Mm. And we have other artistic practices that we do as well, which are, we try to sort of meld them. Like when we do our performances at Sivertsen, we'll do some storytelling and I write poetry, Nina writes poetry. So we'll be doing some of that.
Mm-hmm. I do some hand drums as well. Hand drum songs, because I'm also half Chippewyan or Dene from Alberta. So I try to balance that and I do some, my poetry. And I also play cello since I was a kid. So there's a whole bunch of, we're able to do a lot of things.
Yeah, we're like multidimensional, amazing. Yes. You just have to show up.
Tomorrow, Saturday.
Yes.
This is the 1-3 throat singing performances, Sivertsen Gallery, downtown Grand Marais. It's part of the 18th annual Inuit premiere featuring throat singing, sculpting by Bill Nasagala-Wak and Rob Pengelly. From the Canadian Consulate, Jan Sivertsen, the mastermind behind it all. We thank you all for coming into the Roadhouse.
Nakormek.
Thank you. Nakormek.
We hope to see you next year. Welcome to the community and enjoy the weekend.